This is Reuven Levy. We're learning together from the book Gan Emuna, The Garden of Faith by Rav Shalom Arush. Yesterday we learned the basic principle, one of the basic principles of Emuna, that God is running the entire world. What does it mean that He's running the entire world? It means that every detail of this world He is in charge of. Every single detail, generally and specifically. Generally in the world and specifically to do with me. All the conditions that I live under, my physical conditions and my mental conditions and my emotional conditions, they're all from Him. The fact that I get angry, the fact that I get upset, the fact that I have lusts and desires, they're all from Him. He created everything and continues to create everything. He gave me all of the conditions on which I have. He might have given me them through certain circumstances. So I had to grow up in a certain way. I had to grow up with a particular type of parents, particular type of parenting style, particular school, particular siblings or no siblings at all. And that shaped me into the person I am today. The truth is, God put me in that situation in order to give me exactly those characteristics that He wanted me to have. When Hashem decided to bring my neshama, my soul, into the world, He decided that this neshama needs to have a certain number of tests, and a specific tests. It needs to work on anger, it needs to work on depression, whatever it is I need to work on. So Hashem then put me into a place where through my childhood experiences, I would come out being a person who gets angry, or I'd come out being a person who just can't stop eating chocolate cake. Whatever it is, Hashem created that scenario. Why? Because He wants my neshama to work on that particular inyan. So even my emotions and my characteristics are all from God, which is really good, because then I don't have to get upset about them. Doesn't mean I don't have to work on them. For sure I've got work to do. I have to recognize that I have bad traits. But the bad traits are no more my fault than my shoe size. I don't get upset with myself that I got a small shoe size or something of that nature. And neither should I get upset with myself the fact that I have a desire to look at women. Right? I didn't create one, I didn't create the other. It was created within me to give me a test. I have to deal with it. I have to work with it. I've got a job to do to refine my bad character traits. But if Hashem didn't give me any bad character traits, I'd have nothing to do in this world. So He said, here you go. This is what you're going to have to work on. Deficiencies, lackings. So that's good.
Excuse me. You don't recognize that as a child or as a young man, probably. You come to recognize. And if you don't, and if you're not from a family at all, why not recognize those things? Why?
Okay. Correct. But the truth is, I know what's appropriate and what's not. So even if I'm not religious, even if I've never heard of God or any other self-help books, right? Never come across them. I still have an understanding that anger is not good. I still have an understanding that infidelity is not good. And so I still have what to work on. The truth is, if I want to start working on myself, then God is not going to stand in my way. He's going to open up the doors, right? The reason why I'm here, you're here, anyone who is here listening to this class is here, is because we're people who want to work on ourselves. And so Hashem directed us to be here where we can be working on ourselves. Because He takes us the way we want to go. So it's difficult to bear an argument these days. Maybe any time, but certainly in these days. It's difficult to bear an argument that a person just didn't know or could never have found out. Because all of the options are available, particularly in this day and age, particularly. And not only, even if it was in this day and age, God has any way, shape or form to achieve any purpose. So a person wants to study, wants to learn, wants to develop themselves. They take him in the way he wants to go. So he's going to learn. He's going to find out about those things. So, Rav Arash writes like this: "Vadash yashkacha shel aboi, he tamid afu achle tovato hanitzchit shel kol echavicha." We should know that the supervision, the direction, the decision of God to create our circumstances, our conditions that we live in, is perfect. It's exactly what we need, and it's for our best. So I don't have what to argue about. I might think that actually I would have done a lot better in this world. If you give me a bit more of an IQ, that would have helped. I could have learned more. It would have made me a bit stronger. I could have helped out more. But I might have my own assumptions as to what's good for me or not. Truth is, it's irrelevant. I don't know nothing. It's nice. I can imagine what I would look like with long hair and a big black Mercedes, and that would be much better for my service of God. But the truth is, he knows what I need. He knows what service of God I need to give him, and through what conditions. So he knows that it's really good for me that I can't understand Gemara at all, and I have to struggle through each page. That's exactly what my neshama needs. And it wouldn't have helped to make me a Talmid Chacham, to make me a wise man in this world. Wouldn't have helped. Because it's not what my soul needs to go through. My soul needs to struggle in this particular area, because that's what my soul needs. And I'm going to know that and realize at the end. So whatever struggles I have, whichever areas in life I'm finding difficult, is exactly that way for a reason. To fix the bits in me that I need to fix. We all have a different job to fix. Right? The soul of Adam HaRishon, first man, made up, Chazal tell us, of 600,000 Jewish neshamot that make up that soul. Right? And basically, in effect, we're fixing, we're each doing our little share, instead of one person fixing it all, the first man. So we're now split up into 600,000 neshamot, and each one of those souls is also potentially split into different people as well, to do the job, to fix what we need to fix, to finish what we need to finish, to perfect what we need to perfect. And each one's got their own bit of that. So my job is to struggle with arrogance, and another person's job is to struggle with depression and to overcome. And each person that overcomes and fixes his bit, we've done our bit. That's what I was here for. I wasn't here to do something else. I wasn't here to write the book Gan HaShalom, Gan HaEmunah, right? That's not my job. It was someone else's job. Came and did it very nicely, right? He did, but so I don't have to worry about that. I'm not Rosh Yeshiva. I'm not feeding the sick, clothing the poor, whatever. I'm not doing, right? Because maybe it's not my job. But whatever my job is, that's what I should be concerned to do. What is my job? Usually it's whatever Hashem is putting in front of my face. That's what my job is to do. Okay, so why did Hashem create all of these conditions and limitations on us? Bishvil lekavanato el hayud, el in order to get us to the place that we were created for, the reason why we were created. Each of us was created for a particular reason, and we have exactly the tools we need for that job. Names escape me. Rav in London that I used to learn by before I made Aliyah, he gave a shiur on what you should do with your life. He said, people come and ask him for advice. What should I do with my life? You know, should I be a banker? Should I be a doctor? or even in Torah, should I learn more? Should I? What's good for me to do? So he said like this. He said, let's imagine that you just woke up. You woke up and you're feeling a bit disoriented and you can't remember where you are. But you look around you. And what do you see? You see you're on a building site. Like this building thing over here. You wake up and you see you're on a building site. And you look down and you see, oh, you're a worker. I'm a worker on this building site. But I'm completely blank and I don't know what my job is here. So what do you do? So you look and you see what tools you have. Right, if you've got pliers and a screwdriver and right, maybe you're the electrician. So that's what you should go and do. And if you've got a paintbrush and your clothes are spattered in paint and whatever, so you're the painter. Right? So you should see what tools you have and don't go and try and do someone else's job. Same true with us. We should see what tools we have. I should look what characteristics Hashem gave me. If Hashem gave me the ability to teach, the ability to communicate to people, so maybe that's a good thing for me. But if he didn't, then there's no point pushing myself to try and be a teacher and to give classes if it's not me. Right? And same in learning. If learning is me, great. And what type of learning? Hashem gave us tools for a reason. Right? If Hashem gave me kindnesses, maybe I should use that. Okay. And we can't look at other people. Hashem knows what each individual needs, and each individual needs something else. And therefore the lackings that I have or the benefits that I have bear no relation to anyone else. Right? There's no point, and it's very damaging to look at other people and think, well, he's better than me in this, or I'm better than him in that. Comparison is pointless. Because we were all created with a different job, right? The painter doesn't look at the electrician and say, oh, I wish I had a screwdriver. It's irrelevant, it's not his job, and therefore he doesn't need to get jealous, and he doesn't need to feel arrogant that he's better. Because for sure some people are created with a higher IQ, and for sure some people are created with more charisma and more money. Wonderful, but it's not for me, it's not my job. It's not what I need in life. And if I had those things, it wouldn't help me. Wouldn't help me achieve what I need to achieve in the world. What do I need to achieve what I need? Whatever I have. Whatever I have is exactly perfect for me. Does that mean that I can't want for anything else? No, I can want. And if it's good for me, then I need to pray on it. And Hashem can still give it to me. If right now I don't have much money and I want to have more money. So, there's two ways of looking at it. The first way is, the fact I don't have a lot of money right now is exactly how it's meant to be. Because that's the way God created it. Created it me and created my situation that I don't have a lot of money. And therefore, it's the best thing. So exactly what I read now, right now is not to have any money. But wait a minute. I'm not happy. I'd like to have more. So what should I do? Should I stand here and just suck it in and say, you know what? This is obviously for the good. This is what you wanted. I don't like it, but what can I do? There's no point praying for a change, because if you wanted me different, you're making me different. Right? You made me like this for a reason. There's no point praying for anything different. So Rabbi Arush explains, no. Everything that's happened to me up until now, I accept for the very best. It's exactly how it's meant to be. But what happens from here in the future is an open book. There's no reason why, just because up until today it was good for me not to have money, that from tomorrow onwards it won't be different. Maybe I've learned up until now exactly why I needed not to have money. So that when Hashem gives me money, I won't be arrogant, I won't waste it, I won't whatever. So tomorrow could be different. So you're right, up until now, it wasn't appropriate for me to have anything more, have something different. But from tomorrow onwards, I'm now a different person. So it is appropriate for me to pray. And the prayer helps change me. Right? If I'm praying for money, then the prayer should make a vessel that I can now carry that money and use it properly. And the prayer is going to change the conditions. Yesterday, before I prayed, it wasn't appropriate to give it to me. So I would have just wasted it. But now, after I'd prayed about it, so now I'm a different person. Now I've got a sechel, a brain that can actually hold on to it, that knows it's from Hashem because I prayed on it, and then when I get it, I know it's from Him, so I'm not going to waste it, etc., etc. It might take a lot of prayer to change me, to give me a big enough vessel for what I'm asking for. It depends what I'm asking for. Some things require a lot more personal development and growth, therefore require a lot more prayer. Prayer is to change me, change who I am, change my approach, my understanding.
So, but when we, all right, so when we, let's say people pray, you know, give me X or Y or Z or whatever. But what you're saying, that the real means follow to self-reflect, self-judge. But that's not when people are just asking for something in their prayers. It's not that self-reflective judgment.
Right. So it depends what I'm asking for. So some things I might get anyway just by asking, because even the asking itself has a value, right? The fact that I ask and don't do anything else other than ask still has a value, because, for example, not the only value, but one of the main values of asking is that if I ask for something and then I get it, I know where it came from. And God wants me to know where it came from. He doesn't want me to think that I achieved it myself. So even just asking is useful. But if I want something big and something that's going to last and something that's going to be very good for me, so that's going to take more. For example, let's say I want to daven on parnasa, on money, on income, and I say to Hashem, look, right now I'm on, I know, 50,000 a year, but actually I need 100,000 a year. Well, that's what I'm praying for. So a person who prays on that and does self-reflection, so he starts to, in his prayer, to see if that's true. We can't truthfully ask something that we don't need. Hashem, give me a flashy, bright new red Porsche. I really need it. I really, really... We can't make that prayer genuinely. So when we're praying on something, we start to see whether or not it's actually true. So if I'm praying, for example, on 100,000, that I need 100,000. I'm on 50 now, but I need 100. Well, all right, I don't exactly need 100, but I probably need 70 or 80. Or if I do the math, right? And what am I going to use it for? Well, I'm going to use it for this. I'm going to use it for that. Then I start to clarify myself what I'm actually going to use it for. I'm creating the vessel that it's going to be used properly. I'm going to be very grateful when it comes down. So the more I can do that self-reflection, the bigger the vessel, the bigger the reason that Hashem's going to give it to me, because it's good for me, it's going to help me, it's going to take me further towards Him. There's basically only two, there's away from Hashem or closer to Hashem. That's all that exists in the world. And you can put everything into that category. Is this thing taking me closer to Hashem or taking me away from Him? And right now, if most of us were given money, it would take us away from Hashem, wouldn't take us closer. And He doesn't want that. Right? It's not good for us. He wants our best, which is closer to Him. So the things I have to be asking for should, in some way, be taking us closer to Him and not creating a stumbling block. Most people, money creates a stumbling block. So when you have money, you don't need God. You just throw money at the problem. You don't need to pray. Don't need any help from Him. I'll get the best doctor, the best dentist, the best lawyer, right? I'll buy myself something new to make me feel better. I don't need to worry about feeling down. I don't need to worry why I'm not feeling good today. I'll just buy myself a new suit. Whatever. Money gets in the way a lot. And therefore we need a big vessel to be able to hold money and not to be pushed away from Hashem. Not for it to get in the way. Causes us to be arrogant, etc. All of those things. And that's usually what most people are asking for in this world, is money. Because that seems to be the easiest answer to get rid of most of our problems. But we don't like problems. The easiest way seems to be, if I had money, I could deal with that, 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 and that. And then I'd be clear to... But... We have to do a lot of prayer and a lot of working on ourselves in order that when we get the money, it doesn't damage us. And that's the value of prayer. Tov. Okay. So, Marat Sono Shalabolo Mimcha, Shalamaseh Zotachlit Shalcha. So what is this job that Hashem wants us to do? Right? What's the purpose of being down here? It's a good question. Perhaps the most important question a person can ask. What am I doing here? What's the purpose of being here? So, Rav Arash answers like this. So it's not a very simple answer, but the answer is this: the reason why we're created, and Rav Arash quotes the Zohar Kadosh, the holy book of the Zohar, which says that the reason why we're created is in order that we will come to know Hashem. That's it, that we will come to know Hashem. Now that statement is not an easy statement to understand, and it can take a lifetime of actually understanding what it is that it means. But to know Hashem means many different things. At a very simple level, to know Hashem means to know that He exists, to know of Him, He exists, and to know what we can know about Him, right? That He's in control, that He's only good. That's what we're here for, says the Holy Zohar, to know Hashem. And really that's it, meaning that everything else that goes on in our life is just a backdrop to allow us to come to that recognition. What does that mean? So that means really to learn Emunah, to learn that God's in control, because that's knowing Him, knowing His ways, knowing that this is all Hashem. If we see Hashem in our everyday life, in every action and everything that's happening, or whatever we can see, then we're coming to know Him. Right? When something happens to me and
he's
I say,
there,
oh, this is
He's doing it, right?
He's doing it.
He's doing it.
Right? But to know that, it's what, there's two forms of know. There's knowing and there's knowing. There's being, let's say it like this. I'm aware of that. I'm aware of the fact, but I don't know it. Right, I'm aware of the fact that God exists and that He's only good. I'm aware of it. Why? Because I heard it in a class and I read it in a book. I'm aware of it, yes. Do I know it? No. I don't really know it deep down. It's not part of me. Why? Because there's, why not? Maybe it is part of me. Maybe I do know it very well. Why not? It sounds very logical. I've got it. It's easy, right? I've got it now. Right? Because there are times when I know it and there are times when I really don't know it. The times when I'm getting upset and angry, I don't know it. God is running the world and He's only good. Yeah, fine, but not now. Not here, not right now. Maybe later, Hashem's running the world again. But right now, here. Right, so I don't know it. My job is to know Him in all His ways, the whole across the board. So there's no place that isn't Hashem, which is a lifetime's work. But that's fine, because that's what we're here for. We're here for a lifetime. If we manage to crack it by the age of 17, then what are you going to do for the next 70 years? Sit there and twiddle your thumbs. You know? Hashem is endless, and His ways are endless. So even the great tzaddikim, Moshe Rabbeinu for sure knew, Avraham Avinu knew Hashem, and that had emunah, that everything's from Hashem, right? But they still had more to learn. Rav Arash talks about, we have to learn our job in this generation. One of them is to learn the Rachmanut of Hashem. We learned in the Parashiyot about the difference between Noah and Abraham, and the fact that Noah didn't pray because he didn't realize that Hashem was merciful enough to save the entire world just through his prayers. He didn't know that. He knew Hashem. He knew Hashem was good, and that wiping out all these bad people is a good thing. So that's good. But he didn't realize there's an even greater good, which is you could save them all and make them all do teshuva. That's even better. He hadn't realized that level. Abraham did. Knew that Hashem was Rachmanut and would save people on account of that. That's why he prayed for Sodom. But even Abraham didn't stop when it came down to less than a minion. Right? There was no point. Right? But Moshe Rabbeinu was higher than that. And he knew that Hashem's mercy is even greater. Even though no one was worthy at the time of the golden calf, apart from him, and Hashem said, we'll keep you and we'll start again. He said, no, you're right, they're all not worthy, but that's not the problem, right? You're greater than that, Hashem. You can save them all and everything's good, right? So Rav Isaac explained that part of our job is to know Hashem's mercy, to know how merciful Hashem is. Why? Because part of what that does is that changes the world. When a person knows, a person recognizes how merciful Hashem is, it's as if it gives Hashem the ability to then bring that mercy down into the world. Right? Hashem could have saved the people at the time of the flood, but Noah didn't realize it. If Noah realized it, he could have made that a reality. Hashem acts mida keneged mida according to our understanding. So a person who understands that Hashem is really good and can do anything, then he can really do anything, right? In the Gemara, when
he lit the vinegar
instead of the oil, right? Because he knew that was possible. It wasn't a doubt. It wasn't a question for him. If it was a question, maybe Hashem might do this for us. It might. I don't know. You could try it. It might work. So it's not going to work. It's only when you know for sure, whatever that means, when you have a strong belief, a strong confidence, then that creates the ability to do that. So every person in his prayers, which is a big answer for us, that strong advice for us is when we want something, we have to really believe in its possibility. If I really believe Hashem can do anything, and Hashem loves me so much, He can do anything. Right now, He's going to change everything. I'm trusting you, and I'm 100% no problem that you're going to do it. So then I'm creating a much larger possibility in His hands to choose whether or not to do so. But the vessel is now, I'm now creating a vessel that's available for Him, for that light to come in. Right? That's what, so to speak, bringing God into the world. I'm doing exactly that. Right? I'm saying God exists here. God is going to do a miracle. God is, right? I'm bringing Him into the world. He says, fine. We can do that. We can do that. But we have to believe in His goodness and His ability, His omnipotence. Hashem can do anything. If I'm still shaky on whether Hashem can do anything, and I've got Chas V'Shalom, there's a child that's ill, right? I'm not really sure, you know what, Hashem, and I'm relying on doctors and medicines. Why? Because I don't really think Hashem is able to, or can, or wants to, or I'm thinking there's a problem. So I'm not really focusing on Him, because one of those criteria is missing. Either I don't think He can do it, or I don't think He wants to do it, or I think I'm not worthy for it. And therefore, I'm not committed. I don't have confidence that it's going to happen. And if I don't have confidence that it's going to happen, then it's not that Hashem won't still do it, because He's very kind, and He might still do it, even if I'm not, right? We see people have Yeshuot all the time, salvations, even though they're not praying, they're not asking, and then, right? Hashem is still merciful, even if we're not. But we should know the positive is true, that if we are confident, if we do have a strong faith in Him, that He can do anything He wants. And He wants to. He loves me so much, He wants to help me. And my match is going to happen. Really believe it. Then that's gonna help a lot. Oh, it might get tested, it might not happen. It's a big test, it's a difficult test. I'm 100% sure I knew it was going to happen, and no doubt, and it didn't happen. Oh. It's up to Hashem at the end of the day. And He wants to test us to see whether after that sort of disappointment we're still going to hold on, or whether it was just for show. Ah, well, forget it. I tried you once and it... That's it, you lost your chance, sorry. I mean, who am I? I'm shooting myself in the foot, but we do that, right? We get upset. We get upset with Hashem. If we don't admit that we're upset with Hashem, then, right, we're not being truthful. We do get upset with Hashem. You didn't help me out. I really need you, and you weren't there. Right? I really wanted that ice cream, whatever it was. Right? You didn't give it to me. Right? So I'm not speaking to you now. We do that. I do that. I don't know about anybody else. Right? That's not an issue. That's part of our test, that we have to overcome that. Right? And cancel ourselves and give ourselves up and apologize and, you know, sorry. Right? Go back, and that's good. And each time we do that, we humble ourselves, and humility is priceless. A person if we say that there's only two options, getting close to God and not close to God, and our whole entire job is to get close to God, so humility is the greatest vessel for doing that. So it's very good that we don't get what we want all the time. Sometimes it's good. And he knows right now whether or not it's good for me or not. Right? And a person can pray also in that fashion. Hashem, if it's good for me, then please give it to me. And if it's not, then please don't help me not to be disappointed. Help me to still believe in you. Right? But I really want this thing, but I don't know if it's... So keep an even level if it doesn't go the way I wanted it. It's not easy. It's not easy. Tov, let's do it a little bit more. So all the conditions and all the limitations and all the characteristics that Hashem gave me, the lackings and the faults and the difficulties and the challenges, they're all for this purpose, so that I will come to know Him. Right, without my struggles and without my challenges.
Question about Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Can it be that I listen, when woman gives birth, 70 cries 70 times, but another you have to cry 140 times.
Okay.
Why is it more so difficult? Because of another. Let's say you will serve Hashem. Now you get money. And with this money you won't serve Hashem. Understand? So the other settlement, like that, you serve by now tzitzit to the tefillin. Understand?
Right.
Because you can, with money, you can make a lot of good things. Yeah? You can put the shiva, this is why it's difficult to have fun. When a person comes closer to Hashem, it's more difficult to have the fun. Because you have to.
Yeah.
Because now the money is come from the real source. Yeah? It's more holy. And you know, when a religious person, you won't spend the money for mitzvot to get set up and do things. And what is that?
You're right. So all of these conditions that we have and all the struggles that we have are only in order to allow us to fulfill our purpose, which is to get to know Hashem. So if I didn't have the struggles, I wouldn't get to know Hashem. Like if I was living life on easy street, with everything I needed, I wouldn't get to know Hashem. Hashem wouldn't figure in the picture. And it's only really dafka because of the struggles. And we know that's when a person turns to Hashem. A person turns to Hashem when there's no one else to help. I try and avoid it, so to speak. That's what most people do, right? They try and find a way of solving the problem themselves. And only when I can't solve the problem, I have to turn, so to speak, to God. So God says, well, I'm going to have to give you a lot of problems that you can't solve in order that you turn to me more, because that's going to help you. I don't realize that, and the opposite of humility is kochi v'otzem yadi, trying to do everything myself, which is a very negative thing for us to try and do, because it pushes Hashem out of the picture. When Hashem is pushed out of the picture, He has to push back in with things that we can't do. So He has to make us fall with greater and greater difficulties. And the more competent I am, the more I'm going to have really difficult situation, because otherwise I'm going to just deal with it myself. So instead of waiting for Hashem to come to us, the answer is to go to Him, right? Which is why one of the many, many reasons of doing His Vodadot. When we turn to Hashem and say, Hashem, I know You're here. I want to get close to You. I know You exist. Please give me a munah. Please let me understand Your ways. I know this is from You. I can see Your hands all over this. I know You're doing this for my good. Then He doesn't need to come knocking. Doesn't need to give me any wake-up calls. Doesn't need to give me any calling cards to say, this is me and it's not you. Right? If I'm doing that job for Him. So a person who's living with a munah, trying anyway, and trying to see Hashem in everything, and crediting Hashem with everything, the successes and the failures, I don't need a rude awakening. Don't need to be shown the truth in a difficult way because I'm just not getting it. Once I get it, Hashem has no reason to make life difficult for me. Doesn't Hashem suffers, the Midrash says, more than we do when we suffer. And he doesn't want to make me suffer for my own good. Just like if we're a parent and we have a kid, the kid gets it. He comes to you and says, Abba, I understand it completely that I did something wrong. And the kid explains in full and clarity and detail and understanding that that's obvious that he knows he did something wrong and he doesn't want to do it again. So I don't need to give him any punishment, so to speak, until he gets it. But if I have a kid who doesn't get it at all, and when I speak to him, it's clear that he thinks he's perfect and he's fine and he hasn't done anything wrong. So I need to educate him. And if the only way I can educate him is by grounding him, by putting him in his room, by whatever difficulty I have to give him. So I have to do that, but I don't want to do that. Same is very true with us. If we turn to Hashem in repentance, in teshuva, and say, Hashem, I know I messed up. This is not right. It's not what I should be doing. He says, fine, Yofi, you got it. I don't need to slap you until you wake up. Tov, we're going to finish there today. This is Hashem. We'll continue tomorrow. Thank you.
See you tomorrow.
Is it classing on Thursday? Yeah. Okay, so not tomorrow. Okay, gotcha.
What are you saying?
There might be another class. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, but you know.